Just can't thank enough for the food, right? Thank you very much. So good to be with you. And today we are so blessed to be able to bring up to the front John, our pastor John, who is enjoying, he's right in the middle and enjoying, starting to enjoy, I think, is takes a little while of decompression for a sabbatical. And we're happy to have you here, John. We love you very much, brother. Amen. Preach if you want.
Well, good morning. Wonderful to be with you. It has been a while. Hello, niece. Good to see you. This is my first time actually even to see the new color up here. It looks great. Makes the room look larger. Great to be with you. I've visited a couple of other churches since seeing you last. And, of course, been going through a remarkable adventure with Glenda since I saw you last. But knowing that you might ask me to say a few thoughts, I prepared some notes. So if you don't mind, I want to read just a few of my thoughts for this morning. I'm here this morning because I wanted to be with you, to give God thanks for you, and to give you thanks for your love and care, especially in recent weeks. I'm thankful that Glenda's recovering well, even as we wait further results from biopsy taken during surgery. I'm thankful for the especially attentive love of our children and grandchildren, for their mother and Nana. I'm thankful for FaceTime, which allows our distant daughter, Kristen, to participate in this moment of our life and allows us to participate in the anticipation of the birth of her first child any day. I'm thankful for a doctor who has experienced the sovereign grace of God, who spent the first 17 years of her life as an Iraqi refugee in Afghanistan without education. Her father gave her an encyclopedia Britannica during those years. Her family won the immigration lottery when she was 17, came to the U.S., got her GED, went to college and medical school, and has become an acclaimed surgeon who Glenda specifically chose and is being well cared for by. I'm thankful for a sabbatical given to me by the elders and by you so that Glenda and I could pay full attention to this moment, get some rest eventually, and clarify the future. Thankful for Mike and Vicky, whose presence takes away almost all of the anxiety associated with the many letting goes of a sabbatical. I'm thankful for parents who have much experience in the toils and snares of life and the grace that has led us safe thus far. Thankful for our life together as a congregation that both expresses its love and support and restrains itself from overwhelming us with those expressions. We feel your love. If we're honest on this Easter Sunday, we would have to admit that it is not resurrection power that we usually want. Most of our prayers are an appeal for one form or another of resuscitation power, power that prevents the painful and even death. Even though resurrection power is not what we usually want, there comes a time in everyone's life when, because of the loss of a dream, a close relationship, a mother, father, a child tragically lost, or any other kind of death, resurrection power becomes our only hope. I'm overwhelmingly blessed to stand with you today and declare, Christ is risen. It's good news. I am blessed by the increase of strength and hope that is ours because of this reality. I am blessed by our life together in the resurrected Jesus. I thank God for his love, and I thank God for the love of you for us. Christ is risen. God bless you. Great to be with you today.
Good job. Thank you, Pastor John, and greet Glenda for us all. Amen. My role and my wife Vicky's role here during this sabbatical is to stand in the gap and cover those areas that are somehow appropriate for us to be able to cover. And we're thankful to be able to stand here today in the Word and thankful for the opportunity to share it with you. I love you very much, by the way. You are a grand group of people who care desperately for each other, and you see each other and hear each other and acknowledge each other, and that is life-giving, really, truly is. So many people go through life without ever being noticed, totally forgotten, isolated, left alone. Well, if any of those folks find their way here or they come across the path of anyone in this room, they're going to experience a life transformational power of the resurrection because of you, because of your existence, your faith, and your walk with God in this community. Ottawa and LaSalle County and this region are not going to be the same 5, 10, 15 years down the road. It has been transformed in the last 50 years by this church being in place on like a peg in the wall where God placed this church to be in this community for such a time as this. You are doing a great work and the Lord is with you. And I thank you for that. Thank you for standing true to what this church represents and for this leadership that we've heard from today. Thank you, John. And so God bless you. Why don't you look at your neighbor and tell him, just God bless you. God bless you. Recent weeks up until this particular time, we have been covering a subject titled The Road to Resurrection. We're going to finish that up here today, and then we're going to transition into a different type of a topic. It's the Gospel Project. And during the Gospel Project, we're going to spend some time as we go forward just examining the life of Jesus, his manner, his character, his style, his nature, and the fact that he is our great example. And so from week to week, we'll look at a different sampling of Scripture from one of the Gospels and certain events within the life of Jesus Christ. So anticipate that as we go forward into the coming weeks. God bless you for that. So this morning, we want to turn your attention to the Gospel of Mark, where we're going to launch off today. Mark gives us his version, his rendition of the resurrection experience that he himself had. And so we read from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early in the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of this tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been what? Rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Let's bow and pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful word and for this time where we are gathering together to really remember in the personal fashion which this resurrection, your resurrection, has impacted us personally. And so we thank you for this opportunity to be in your word, and we ask for resurrection power to break open and break through for those needing such today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. So the last weekend we covered 3 of 5 characteristics of people that are walking this road to resurrection. We started out by looking at those that trust in him. They put their trust in him, not in self, not in surroundings, not in the environment, but in him. And just like I can stand in the ocean, knee deep on the shore, I can say I'm in the ocean. But if I want to go deep, I've got to go into something deeper that'll take me deeper. On my own, I cannot figure out God, but in Jesus, I begin to understand who he is and what he's all about. And so God is asking us, are you trusting in him? Secondly, the next characteristic is that they feed on truth. In a world where sometimes it's just difficult to figure out what is true and what is fabrication, There is truth that you can feed on, and it's found in the scriptures. It's found in the name of Jesus here in the Bible narrative, and you can put your trust in the Word of God and feed on that. Because what I feed on is what begins to steer my philosophy, begins to steer my actions and my behaviors. And so the third item was of the folks that travel upon this road to resurrection is that they know that He knows. They know that He knows. In other words, He's aware of your situation. He is so keenly attuned to what your experience on this earth is. You're not in this alone. God is with you. He understands. Even as Jesus was progressing through the passion of the judgment and the trial and the flogging, He was well aware of what was happening, that God was bringing all things to completion underneath Him. He was aware of that, and He was aware that you were in the mix, that you were part of the joy that allowed Him to endure the cross and despise the shame. He looked through the cross to see you today. That was His joy, to be able to see you on the other side of the cross. And so Jesus, in John, says, I am saying this so that My joy may be in you and your joy may be full. What does He mean by that? Well, I think one of the things He means by that is if we will kind of grasp the concept that I was in the sight of Jesus before He went on the cross, and I was the reason that He died on the cross, that He went through that suffering for me, that I can begin to understand that I too am valued, that Jesus valued me even before I ever knew Him, and that my life is filled with joy to know that someone like Jesus, the Savior of the world, God incarnate in the flesh, would choose me and see me through all of the darkness that He was facing, but still say, I'm going through it for you, going through it for her, I'm going through it for him. Aren't you thankful for that today? Let your joy be full, because you are the joy of the Lord. Amen. And being able to fellowship with you, that's the joy of the Lord that gives me strength. When we come together and sing songs and worship the Lord, that just gives me joy and strength. Praise God. Well, I'm getting off the beaten path here. So, but Jesus knows, and know that He knows. Know that He knows and is a very, very aware of your life. The fourth item, the fourth characteristic we will cover of five, we'll cover four and five today and complete this whole project, is that the travelers on this road to resurrection are alert to detours of the heart. Alert to detours of the heart. I want to look at the book of Luke chapter 22. I think we have that scripture here somewhere. Our brothers and folks on the team back there are doing a great job for us. Every day I was with you, Jesus said. This is just as He's being arrested and He's being interrogated before the crucifixion. He says, every day I was in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns. This is your hour when darkness reigns. What's He saying? Well, this is your hour. Indeed, you know, the cross and the resurrection is truly about Jesus Christ, a demonstration of the love of God, His willingness to suffer extreme fashion, to pay the price of our sin. But there's another element to this story that is being exposed during the whole unfolding of the crucifixion, is the exposure of the human heart. Jesus said, this is your hour. Well, I know it's my hour, but this is your hour when darkness will reign. You see, our hearts, unregenerated hearts, when we don't know Christ and we're living in a rather godless world, are we not? Hearts are rampant and almost rabid at times. And it is an indication to us of how evil and how dark a human heart can really be. It is as though we say, well, how evil is our sin? We can kind of look at the flogging that Jesus went through and the anger that was expressed and the jealousy that was expressed in the flogging, in the torturing, in the nail-pierced hands, in the brow squeezing and piercing crown that they placed upon Him. The horribleness of that demonstration of the evil and the darkness and the pain and suffering that he endured is an indication of how awful our sin was, and that that was the price that was needing to be paid. Some would say, some historians would say, some of the floggings that took place before crucifixions would be so severe that men going through that process would have their midsections completely ripped open and horrible demonstration. But you see, this was the price that Jesus was paying for you and I, because our sinfulness, our hearts were so horrible. And from time to time, our heart wants to take a detour. Jesus was explaining to his 12, this is what's going to happen. And Peter said, oh Lord, that's never going to happen with me. I will never allow that to happen. I will never leave you. And then Jesus told him, yeah, well, there's coming a time, there's going to be a detour in your life. You're going to have a detour and you're going to experience some separation from me. Peter says that'll never happen. But you know the story. We won't go to the scriptures now to read it. But in Luke chapter 22, verse 59 through 62, Peter does indeed deny the Lord three times. Why? Because the heart was taking a detour. He had been so adamant with the Lord, but then circumstances kind of rose up and things changed, and what their expectations were about Jesus were totally different than what their eyes were beholding. And suddenly his heart took a detour. Said, I don't know that man. I don't know that man. When life gets hard on you and me, there's times when our heart almost wants to stay silent. Don't say anything. God is calling you and I to stay on the road to resurrection. Where Jesus was then after the resurrection, like we're celebrating today. Mark said in the resurrection narrative, the angel said, you go tell those disciples to meet him in Galilee, and you make sure you tell Peter. Tell Peter, because Jesus wants to meet up with him, is what the unspoken word was there. Peter, you're not forgotten. Peter, you haven't blown it. Peter, it's not unforgivable. Your Lord loves you, and he's calling you, and he wants to meet up with you. Make sure that you call Peter. You see, Jesus reaches out to us when we're at our weakest point. He understands the frailty of things that we deal with. He understands that life gets difficult and sometimes our heart just kind of bounces like a ping pong ball in many different directions. I've been there. But Jesus is there to come alongside of us and put his arm around us and say, it's going to be okay. I love you. I love you. We're going to get through this together. And then there's Thomas, the questioner. Thomas, the questioner. Maybe even you can call him a fact checker. I don't know. Thomas said, I didn't see Jesus. You guys did. He was here. You say he was here just a little bit ago? Well, unless I'm able to put my finger in his hands and put my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe this. Nah, no way. What's going on? Detour of the heart. Look at the facts, guys. Look at what we just saw. Look at what we just witnessed. But God is on the sides and the wings of this whole scene, saying there's more to this story. And just moments later, Jesus shows up and says, Thomas, come on over. Put your finger in my hands and put your hand into my bleeding side and know. And Thomas's heart was radically brought back on track, radically brought back into the reality of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. God is doing the same thing for you and I today. He's looking for hearts and calling us back into the fold, calling us back into a relationship with him. We know that life gets looking a little crazy. Could I put up that one first picture for us? Sometimes life looks like this, doesn't it? It's coming. There it is. Sometimes life just looks like that. It looks like a jumbled ball of mess, just going every direction. We can't figure out life. And so sometimes our hearts want to make sense of life, and so we make choices that maybe that God is saying, I'm being patient with you now. You're taking a detour. Let's just deal with this. And suddenly he goes through a resurrection event with you. He shows you his power, and he shows you what that really is. Go to the next picture. We get an idea of what that really is. You see, on the other side of the resurrection, on the other side of the cross, those who knew him best began to understand that all these frayed ends were weaving a beautiful tapestry, a beautiful crown, that if you are patient, if I am patient and wait for God and stay true with him and dwell on truth and feed on truth and trust in him and know that he knows that on the other side of trouble, other side of difficulty, God has got good things in store for you. It may not look like it now, but when you get on the other side, it comes into focus. Suddenly there's a crown for you, waiting for you, because he loves you desperately. Praise God. So what do? We are alert to detours of the heart. Pause. Rethink. Come back to truth. Am I pointing true north with my thinking right now? Am I really pointing toward Christ? Jesus Christ will come alongside and reveal himself to you. The fifth point, fifth characteristic of folks that you'll find on the road to resurrection, is that they're confident that he, Jesus, is both the journey and the destination. You know, we're living in a world that's constantly changing, aren't we? Constantly changing and constantly challenging. Recently, we have experienced, in current events, we've witnessed racial reckoning. We've witnessed the pandemic, COVID-19, with all its variants, what that has represented and what it's done to our society, and how it's changed us. Change and challenge. Then before that, we had the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009. It just seemed like, whoa, what's happening here? This is just coming at us in rapid fire. And then before that, we had 9/11. Rapid change and challenges that we face in this world that we're living in. And at times, it's unnerving, is it not? It's unnerving, and how do we handle this? Remember several years ago, Vicki and I, we've never had success with a dog. Unfortunately, you dog lovers. I've seen a lot of your pets, few of them anyway, and beautiful animals. But we've not really been too successful. But we did have one dog that we had for a period of time. His name was Max. Max was a Jack Russell Terrier. He was a lean muscle machine, you know, just kind of about knee high, and very active dog. We got him when he was about a year old. Maybe that's when our trouble started. But we took him into our home, and we tried to nurture him, feed him, train him. My son Joe, youngest son Joe, really fell in love with him, and so we kept Max around because Joe and Max got along really well. But Max was not good with little children and neighbors walking by. And so we determined that our lifestyle is not really conducive for animals. And so we had a conversation with Joe and said, you know, Joe, we really do need to work through this and we need to find a better home. But he has a good home. But I don't deny that. But it's not working in our family. Just we go away and then we have, you know, he's left alone and that doesn't work. And so we worked our way through that conversation, came to agreement that we were going to find a new home for Max. And so we contacted a few people in the area that were animal lovers, and they pointed us in the direction of a hobby farmer that was just outside of town that might be very interested in taking Max on. And so we went out to the hobby farm and met the individual, and come to find out that this individual had a nice little hobby farm, and she was raising potbelly pigs, and she had all the things set up there for potbelly pigs, and she had a few dogs of her own, and so we thought, well, Joe, what do you think? And Joe says, yeah, this looks like a good place, good home for him. So we gave Max to this individual, and she said, you guys come on back anytime you want to check on Max, anytime. Just let me know when you're coming, and we'll be happy. So we agreed, and so several weeks went by, probably at least a month. And so I said, Joe, let's go and take a look at Max. So we get out to the farm and get out of the car and look around, and we don't see Max. And so the lady came out. She says, oh, sure, Max is out over here. We followed her out to the pens, and there was Max. What? Being with the pigs was not good for Max. He was as girthy as a potbelly pig. And when he was with us, he was lean and mean muscle machine. But when his world changed and things became challenging for him, and he found himself among the potbelly pigs, he decided, why fight it? I'm going to be like them. And he helped himself to their slop and their troughs and became just like them. And you see how often humanity like that, we become like our environment. Paul said, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15, remember, bad company corrupts good morals. And so Paul, unfortunately for Max, he had to go into bad company. But you know, how different is that with humanity? You know, we have a world that is changing. We wonder, how do we circumnavigate this? How do we get through this? And sometimes the heart will want to say, oh, let's just forget this way and just go another way. Evidently, it's easier to go with the flow than to go against the current. So Jesus comes on the scene. Jesus shows up again as risen Lord, and he confirms to you and I that I am the way. What is the way forward? Is it, well, we'll figure it out. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Another place he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Praise God for that. You see, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 is an interesting verse for us. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Wow, that's good news. If I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead, do you believe that he was raised from the dead? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection and the life. You see, what I believe about Jesus Christ is of utmost importance. What I believe about his resurrection is of utmost importance. Because it not just puts me on one side of an argument or other, but it puts me on one side of eternity or the other. And so what I believe about Jesus and his resurrection is very, very important for us, because when I know that he is alive and he is risen, I get filled with confidence for the journey. I become filled with the reality that I'm not in this all by myself, but I have a companion who will walk with me and be with me and care for me in the midst of all of this world that's changing and constantly challenging. So he remains constant in the midst of change, doesn't he? He remains constant. This truth, this old story has been around for a long time, but the old story still has a life and vitality and power in it. When you and I just choose to believe, praise God, he is alive just as he said. Luke chapter 24, see the road to Emmaus, there's some disciples that went back to Emmaus following this memorable and remarkable weekend. In Luke chapter 24, we're not going to read all the verses, but let me just read a few of them. They set out to return from the Passover feast in Jerusalem. While they were there, they experienced the resurrection power, the mystery of all this. This man who we expected to be the Redeemer and Savior and King of Israel, what was crucified, put to death. And now they tell us that he's alive. Hard to understand and difficult to imagine. But Jesus came alongside them and walked with them along the way. And he asked, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Jesus, I'm thinking that he was well aware of what they were talking about. And he entered into their conversation. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus enters into a conversation. When you begin to talk about the things of God, Jesus enters into that conversation. It's good to have a conversation with yourself, first of all. It's good to have a conversation with your family. It's good to have a conversation with friends, coworkers, When you start talking, having a conversation, when I start having a conversation about Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, what happens? He comes into that as an unseen guest, as an unseen force, as an unseen, caring, loving, compassionate friend. And so Jesus entered into their conversation, and they were ending their journey, and Jesus kind of did a head fake. He kind of indicated that he was going to go on the journey. But they said, well, you don't have to carry on. Why don't you just come to our house? And so as he entered into their house, we pick up the story in verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And the moment they recognized him, he disappeared from them, out of their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he walked and talked with us on the road? What road? The road of the resurrection. And he opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned to Jerusalem at once. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Praise God. Jesus is with you today. He wants to sit down with you and have fellowship with you. His greatest desire is relationship. Nothing more. He just wants to sit down. Let's have conversation. You share your heart with him, and all of a sudden, good things begin to unfold as we put our trust and confidence in a risen Lord who really cares for you. Let's stand together right now for just a moment. We're just going to pray and worship the Lord with our worship team. Praise God. If you'd like to receive special prayer before you leave today, there'll be folks over here in the corner that are willing to pray for you and wanting to pray with you. And if there's any needs in particular, you can share with them. So, Father, thank you today that you have given us the way out of darkness. You've lifted us out of confusion. You've brought a way through the clouds and through the rubble and through the confusion and through the challenges of life. We thank you that you simplify my life, Jesus. When I can call on your name, when I can voice my faith in you, I can express my trust in you, you are there. And I recognize that today. And may this be the beginning of days for some who've never put their trust in you, who've never come to a conclusion about who you are and what you've done. And we just ask today that that revelation, that fullness of an awareness of that truth would settle deeply within us and give us resurrection power to move forward and upward in Jesus' name. God bless you. Let's worship the Lord.